This is The Podcast, a weekly debate by two brothers, TechSully and GunSully. Join the discussion on thepodcast.com. That is the words The Podcast with an E tacked at the end. Follow The Podcast on Twitter as @ThePodcast, and don't forget to add the E at the end of that. Now we join our program already in progress.
Episode 74.
Hey, this is Gun from Washington, D.C.
And this is Tech calling in from the nation's heartland, somewhere outside of MIT.
Yes, I'd like to say Michigan is such a mess. Can I just point that out? What a mess they are. And it's
well,
all...
If you're an Ohio State football fan, you've always known that.
I'm not. I'm just pointing it out because it's a fact. And if you ask them, it is all the Republicans' fault. You know, the Republican fault. You know, that one Republican that's in the state, it's all his fault.
It's some guy named Doug.
Yes.
We should point out that I have an audience tonight.
So that you can have uproarious laughter.
Yeah, so this is going to be an extra kid-friendly show.
Yes, and I'm gonna not say dirty words like but and Michigas. Sorry, I didn't mean to fly off the handle about the Michigan Michigas.
And Mishrop. Yeah, I mean Michigan is tragic, and it shows just basically how you can.
Attempting to reconnect call.
Sorry the call dropped. I forgot to clarify. I'm actually directly outside of Black Site number 32. So the call does drop because of the frequency modulators. Black Site number 32 is going to be the Area 51 for the next generation once they find out about it. So, you know, that's yeah, you'll read about it in 20 years. But anyway, it messes with cell phone stuff. That's all I can say.
Speaking of conspiracy theories, the rapper B.O.B. Released a diss track claiming that Neil deGrasse Tyson was a round-earth conspiracy guy because he was being paid by the shadow government people.
Yes. Well,
there's a response diss track by his nephew that was not great rap, but definitely much more factual rap.
Wait a minute. Whose nephew? Neil deGrasse Tyson's nephew?
Yeah, the rapper goes by the name Tyson. So we can link to the diss track on SoundCloud.
Okay. Yeah, that would be awesome. I definitely want to hear some flat earth rap beforehand. I think the flat earth rap is going to be more world building for me, for my imagination. I have seen some flat earth stuff. It's incredible how much thought people have put into it. And they're just quite sure that, you know, because you can see the moon at some points during the day, well, that's just evidence clear as day that it's a flat earth. And, you know, sure, some people think that they're flying around the world, but they're not really. They're actually flying on a curve. I like it
as a thought experiment. You know, I have talked to people who are absolutely brilliant. You know, guys with degrees in physics that worked in the games industry, and they had to, for a video game, create a world that is actually flat. And so, you know, for them it's a thought experiment. Okay, if the world's flat, you know, all gravity pulls exactly down, how does that work? But in their world, they have to create a world that is exactly flat, but all gravity pulls exactly down everywhere you are, no matter where you are, with the exact same force.
Right.
So which... they, they create worlds. And so it's a neat thought experiment. So they would then think, okay, what would our world have to look like for it to be a flat Earth? And so what are the arguments and all that? And it's a neat thought experiment. And there's a flat Earth society that started out as that. There was basically a drinking game where they come up with neat ways that you would have a flat Earth, what you would expect to see if it was a flat Earth. Unfortunately, that got taken over by the same group of people that believes that Obama is a lizard.
Yes.
And they are belligerent fanatic people, which is why I was dealing with somebody who was attempting to. They weren't attempting to debate me. They were attempting to win an argument with me with one line, and I would put forward a logical statement based on nothing but statements of fact. And then they would say, "You can't back that up. You are an idiot." And, you know, they think that's the mic drop moment. And I said, "Okay, here's all the citations. Here's all the things backing up the statement." And then they would say, "You are the type of person who can't hold up under fact-checking." And I was like, "Yeah, okay, no, you're just ignoring the fact that I just cited everything." And then I realized it was like they were stuck in a loop. And so I was like, "All right,
yeah.
You're like a flat earther. You just won't see any of the evidence that's in front of you that your concepts are wrong and that I actually was right like 40 arguments ago. And you won't see it because you're..." And flat earther is now, in that situation, I'm using it as an example, not talking, of course, about the smart people doing the logic game, but talking about the people who hijacked it because... You know, President Lizard Obama is just trying to trick us into thinking that the Earth is ball shaped because he's secretly gay.
Well, it's also the same kind of people where the moon landing denialists, like Joe Rogan is a famous moon landing denialist. But if you talk, there's people who say, well, if you talk to him when the mics are off. He clearly believes he landed on the moon. He just does that because he's a comedian and he knows he can beat up basically anybody because he's a, you know, muscle-bound guy. So, you know, he knows that nobody who is a NASA freak could punch him in the face and, you know, start a fight with him. So what he wants people to do is improve their arguments. You know, he's the straw man that people can sharpen their arguments against.
Right.
You know, is what his argument is whenever he's behind
speaking,
the mic, supposedly.
Speaking of the living embodiment of the straw man argument, Donald Trump is not going to be in the debate tomorrow.
Oh, fantastic segue.
I know. Thank you. Thank you. Donald Trump will not be there, which means we might actually see what candidates on their own merits have to say about the issues at hand. And if one of them, while he's not on the stage...
aren't afraid of a little girl.
Right. Can I just point out, like, any of the candidates on the stage could have said in any of the prior debates, "I believe that aliens have overtaken the bodies of most Americans, and if I were president, I would wear special sunglasses to be able to see who has been taken over by aliens, and then I would shoot them with a shotgun like Roddy Piper." And someone could have said that, and you wouldn't know about it because the news only focuses on Trump. So I'm really glad that he's not going to be in this debate so that if someone does say something crazy, which occasionally somebody does say something crazy or something gets overlooked. Like, of course, Carson, as we pointed out, is a very calm, level-headed guy. And occasionally he'll say a really good statement that gets totally overlooked because he says it like this. He says it very calmly. And so they're just like, "No, all right, that's boring." He said a logical thing.
The one debate, every single candidate came out as like anti-vaccine, which, you know, vaccines have eradicated polio. Vaccines have stopped massive virus outbreaks all across the world. Vaccines are good. And every candidate comes out against vaccines because that's what they think their rabid base is after. And Carson's the only one that goes, no, vaccines are good. And he says it, you know, in his absolutely mouse-like way. And, you know, it just gets steamrolled over because, you know, Trump apparently, you know, pushed down a crippled person or something. You know, whatever he does, that's horrific.
Yes.
Hey, look what I'm going to do. Hey, everybody, guess what my hands are. Oh, Trump. Yeah, he's the life of the party. Excuse me. And everyone is distracted by his Michigas. Michigas!
And interesting, I mean, you know, he's still polling high, but among people who are actually going to show up and pull a lever and not just, you know, say, yeah, sure, I'll vote for the crazy windbag.
Well,
he's still pulling low. So it'll be interesting once we actually have a real primary to happen.
Yes, well, and that's one of the things that there are a lot of people who are independent, but not independent like me, who's kind of, you know, analytical. Anyway, the UMIC game could be played on me today. I apologize. There are a lot of independents who are not like me. They're not analytical in any way. And they see somebody who goes on the stage and says, I am the alpha male. Look at me. Sorry for doing a Markiplier voice, but yeah, that's what they see. And they go, I want that. That's good. That's what we need. Some things up a bit. And there's something good about that. Something good about people like me. When they say something stupid, there's a good thing about it that makes me feel reassured. Because I see someone like me say something stupid, and then I go, well, that's good, because they can vote in a Republican primary exactly as much as I can.
Yeah.
I am a registered independent, which means I can't vote in a Republican primary. So if you are a registered independent and you're mouthing off about how much you love Donald Trump because, oh, he shakes things up, man, that's what we need. We don't need this establishment, guys. Like Ted Cruz and Ben Carson, they're so establishment, which is malarkey. Cruz could be said is establishment only because he did vote for the fast-tracking of PPP. Is that right? We have to fact-check that. But that statement is pending fact-check. I hear that Cruz supported the fast-tracking of PPP, which is bad.
And there's another thing I want to rant about, because there's six Republican congressmen who have petitioned the FCC because the FCC declared that anything less than 25 megabits is not broadband.
Is not what?
Which I would agree. Broadband. They said that last year that, you know, if you are less than 25 megabits, you can't call yourself broadband. And so six Republican senators have said, you've written a letter saying, no, 5 megabits is good enough. Well, I can tell you, and they base it on the fact that a single HD stream from Amazon is 3.5 megabits. Now, that's fantastic, but I can tell you from our experience last night, when I was troubleshooting your stuff, that was dead dog slow. That was like a 56K modem when I was trying to fix your computer.
I'm going to try to do a Vine. I'm going to do a Vine of us. I'm going to borrow some glasses, and I'm going to do a Vine of us as if you were next to me fixing my computer. I might have to do a series of them, because, you know, there's different things like Chrome. You'd be like, all right, Gun, I'm going to put Chrome on your computer because it's really sick. Oh, it already has a virus.
You already have all the virus.
Yes, all the virus. Oh, they sneak in there. They really do. And sometimes it's like, nowadays they're real sneaky because you download something absolutely legitimate. And you know when you're downloading something that is legitimate, you will hit okay without reading stuff. And they know
you're
that.
You're like, I was on Friendster and somehow.
I was on InfoSeek. All right. Just stop right there, Unabomber.
Exactly.
Okay,
cool.
All right. So where were you? Where was you doing?
We're joking about the computer viruses. But I did, speaking about computer viruses, let me take a fantastic segue into talking about somebody who just recently died, Marvin Minsky. He was at MIT at the Artificial Intelligence Lab there. And basically was the pioneer of artificial intelligence. He was one of the mentors of Ray Kurzweil. He basically invented the concept of having machines learn things. In other words, you don't program the computer and say, "Here, computer, do this." What the computer does is you program the computer with a brain, and you make the brain learn. You can actually see it in action. One of the Twitter accounts I follow is the C. Munell Twitter account, and it's getting smarter and smarter. It'll ask a question occasionally through Twitter, and if you follow it, it'll direct tweet you, which actually can kind of stink if you have your phone next to you and decide to do this at 3 a.m, which it did to me at one point. But it'll say, "Is Ravens football team a sports team?" And, you know, true or false? And you tell it true. And so I'll occasionally react, you know, to it, and it gets smarter over time. It learns, and it adapts. And as it grows, it learns much like a child learns. And so Marvin Minsky came up with the concept, built his first neural network in 1951. You think about that. Think where the world was at in 1951. I mean, we were barely out of smashing rocks together. I mean, yeah, I mean, we, you know, yes, we were in the nuclear age at that point, but still, I mean, it's just amazing to think that, you know, he graduates in 1954, from, I think, Princeton, and, but built his first neural network in 1951. He didn't have a lot of super quotable things, but, his teaching style, he was known for coming up and using Socratic irony to ask you questions that would show you why you're doing the wrong thing. So in other words, he wouldn't beat you. He wouldn't come up and say, "Hey, you're doing the wrong thing." He would come up and say, like a good example, a guy had wired a neural net kind of randomly, neural net, you know, basically being a computer brain. And he says, "Why did you wire that way?" And he says, "Well, I wanted the neural net to not have any preconceived notions about how to play tic-tac-toe." And so then Marvin Minsky closes his eyes, and he says, and the guy says, "Why are you closing your eyes?" And he says, "I'm closing my eyes so the room will be empty." And he gets up and leaves the room. You know, and that was his teaching style. It wasn't, "Hey, let me tell you why you're wrong." It's, "Let me show you the flaw in your logic." And the thing he would tell people, and one of my favorite quotes of his, is that he says, "What smart people want is for you to read all of the things they've written, read all of their research, read all of their documentation, then go find them. Don't ask them for an autograph. Show them where they're wrong." Smart people want to be corrected, not hand out autographs. I'm paraphrasing, I'm mangling the quote that I am driving, so.
That's a beautiful statement.
He was absolutely brilliant like that. And so, you know, he had people ask him for his autograph, but he loved more when people would come up and say, I completely disagree with you. I don't like this concept or that concept or whatever. And he has a brilliant treatise on computers and music and philosophy. As much as he was into how computers worked and how computer neural networks worked, he was into how the brain would work, our own brains, and the limitations of that. And he and his people who came behind him, Ray Kurzweil, and we've talked, I think you and I have talked on the podcast before, but I am a non-transhumanist. I am at least not in my lifetime. I don't follow Ray Kurzweil's line of thinking, but Marvin Minsky and Kurzweil were transhumanists, and the 5-minute version of that is where they believe that at some point there's going to be a crossover point where human and machine merge, and then we then become the machine. And Marvin Minsky has a quote, and I'm going to probably clobber it, but he says, they say, well, someday will robots take over the world? And he says, yes, but they'll be our children.
There's actually a really smart pop song with a really killer bass. I think everyone's heard it by now, but they've never put any thought into how cool of a song it is. And it's entirely based on that, on becoming the radioactive new age of man becoming machine. It's the song Radioactive by, Imagine Dragons, and you should listen to that song, you being a smart person who knows what it's about, because it's definitely not about Lou Diamond Phillips in teddy bear fights, which is what the video was about. I wish I was making that up, but
I've seen the video, but I didn't listen to the lyrics. I'll have to actually pay attention to the lyrics. But yeah,
so it's about exploding
here's
purposes.
So here's the interesting thing. Many years ago, I talked to a Ray Kurzweil alkalite, a guy who worked directly with Kurzweil and Minsky, long into the evening, and debated transhumanism with them, back and forth. And it's one of the things where I think they're wrong, but I'd love for them to be right. In the way that they are so passionate about it and the way it would work in their line of thinking is so very cool that I'd be okay with them being right, if you understand where I'm going with that.
That's kind of why I read Republican and Democrat like puff pieces, because I always kind of like, even though I'll disagree with them on different points, it's always nice to have them say, oh, don't worry, I have a plan and everything's actually good with me in charge. And it's like, oh, okay, well, I still have my own thoughts, but it's nice to know that if it does turn out your way, hopefully your optimism is correct.
Yeah, exactly. The way our system works, and we've said this before, the way our system works is even if we elect Stalin J. Hitler next week, our system of government won't allow them to completely. Your doors aren't closed. Hey, close your doors. Close your doors. Our system of government won't allow them to completely wreck our government in one session. The way everything's set up, the system of checks and balances. But yes, so, I mean, it was probably 1:30 in the morning or so, and so after having this just, I mean, fascinating back and forth with this Ray Kurzweil guy, he says, I'm clearly not going to sway you tonight, but he says,
he says, Marvin Minsky would love you.
Oh.
And so that was always one of my things is like, you know, the whole fact that, you know, that you can have the utmost respect for somebody and the absolute utmost respect for their ideas and disagree with them. And then,
yeah.
And I think it's the basis for our podcast.
Right, yeah, exactly. I want that so bad in the world. You don't even know. Thankfully I was around enough friends that I could just lay into this dude the way guys lay into each other. You just start ripping them. Because I mentioned not liking everything that the politician says. And this dude is all the way across from spins around and just, you don't like him, but you just said, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, all right, he's trying to take my head off now. Because I said, oh, I only like 80% of the stuff, but not 100%. And he's like, I'll kill you. Like, we don't even disagree that much, but you're acting like you want to kill me because I don't like you. And of course, he cracks a smile and everybody starts laughing. So it's like, yeah, if you can shut down that part of your brain that's like, someone disagrees slightly, they are my enemy. And instead, open up the part of your brain that says, there's a big world out there, and there's a lot of perspectives. And it might be different than my perspective, but that doesn't mean I can't learn and actually become stronger and have a bigger world at the end of the conversation.
And I think we talked about this before, that the most powerful, powerful thing you can have in any conversation, you have to find that common ground first. You know, once you have common ground, you can work to any other thing. Yeah. Sorry, I'm yelling like crazy. Once you have common ground to work from, you can build a relationship, you can build a friendship, even with somebody you're almost diametrically opposed to, and many other things. You can always go back to that thing like, hey, how about slot cars? You know, I may not be a white supremacist like you, but hey, we both have slot cars.
Yes. That's
a specific example, isn't it?
Yes. Who was it you had to bring out that conversation with?
Oh my goodness! Yeah, that was a long night where I'm sat down with a I was sat at a there's a dinner party from hell.
Well, as I pointed out though, I actually have a friend who he's not a long time friend. He's a nice guy though. I really do like him. I cherish his friendship. He was explaining to me how not racist he is, but also how he's proud of being white. And because he was commenting on some of how, you know, my anti-racial posts. I'm very much into the thing as a what's his name? Neil deGrasse. The science guy,
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
No. It's the science guy is his nickname. Bill Nye, his statement, it's actually your skin, and that's it. It doesn't affect how you think or live, and anyone putting what's that called? Anyone putting an extra reasoning on how you should think or how you should act is silly. So, and yeah, it's that's how I feel. I always get really bothered when the news is going on and on about, oh, it's so important to bring up race all the time because, you know, certain races are just a hive mind. And they all have to act a certain way. They, as the mayor of Baltimore put it, they need to grieve.
the whole community all acts in a hive mind and moves and destroys downtown Baltimore, which is the craziest thing in the world to say. And of course,
well, the media just says that because they're controlled by the Jews.
Wow. Yes.
Which I'm just joking because that's an example of the racism that we're talking
yes.
about here.
And as I love to point out, have you ever
the ADL goes ahead and just prepares the form letter again for me? They don't even have to cross my name out.
Yes. Yeah. The no, I said doggone it. I said it again. What's happening to me? This is because I played the Oopa game on you. Ah. Karma. Okay. So,
well, and you should do the game on the NRA lady.
Oh my gosh, I would die. Yeah, I do need
you'd
to die
of alcohol poisoning.
For, yes, I would die of alcohol poisoning. It would be very dangerous to play it to the. And we need to get her name down. I had it. I totally forgot it now, but. She is terrible at speaking.
To be clear, I don't know if we mentioned her on the podcast, but we were talking about she was the public relations director or something we were talking about. But yeah, anyway, sorry, we got kind of derailed there. I wanted to, before we got too far off the thing.
I forgot. I was telling you about my non-racist friend, who is a white guy from the South who was trying to explain to me why, you know, being proud of your race is not racism. And ironically, hearing him out made sense because you and I were not raised white. Our parents never said, you're a white boy. You need to know your place in the world. He was. Like, he was actually raised as a white person. We weren't. We were raised in a non-denominational, non-racial, family. We had people of literally every race in our family. And we are not exactly purebloods ourselves. So, we weren't raised that way. But this guy was. And he was explaining from his perspective as a white man. He doesn't feel, you know, that his whiteness is something to be ashamed of, which I was like, okay, I kind of see what you're saying. And, of course, whenever he says anything, it always sounds racist, which is funny. My point is, he is not a racial supremacist. He doesn't think that his race is better than anyone else's. He just likes that it's his. And he likes himself. But he doesn't think that he is superior to anyone else of a different race. Now, why I think that's ironic is because my black friend who was posting the Louis Farrakhan stuff was literally saying in some of the posts that white people are superior than black people and they should feel bad for how superior they are. And that is white supremacy.
Yeah.
Which, so of my friends who are posting white supremacy stuff, it's my black friends who are regurgitating Louis Farrakhan craziness. And my friend that everyone would go, that guy's racist. He actually is a guy who doesn't think he's better than anyone else and is actually a really level-headed guy and actually a war hero. So... kind of is one of those, when you actually sit down and open up your perspective part of your brain, the world is a crazy rainbow of a place.
So you have to let him finish the whole thought before you're like, okay, all right, as long as you're...
Exactly. And, hey, I thought of a good way for us to end the podcast. We should do a freedom of speech a freedom of speech exercise where we just say something that we don't agree with or is offensive?
Oh, Macs are fantastic. They never get anything that related to... Sorry. I was troubleshooting a virus on a Mac today, which if you
There's
Google
no
a virus on a Mac...
There's no viruses on a Mac!
That's the problem. You'll have 200 people telling you that it's not actually a virus. Now, the same thing on a computer, Windows computer, it will be flagged as a virus, and then a virus scanner software will take care of it for you. But on a Mac, everybody just goes, oh, that same software now is not a virus. Like, okay, it's all malware. It's just a marketing term. Ah! How do I remove it?
Okay.
That's what I want to know. Sorry. Rant over.
So for you, you could say, there are no such things as viruses for Apple. I'm tech. Good night. And for me, that would be a statement you don't believe in.
See, the problem is anybody would then just, quote grab that.
Well, I'm the Lord Sun God Marduk, and I'm voting for Palin.
Palin, she dropped out of being governor of Alaska, what was it, 2 years into her term? So even if she does run for vice president, we only have to worry about 2 years of her vice president.
Shell fart. Well, I guess we'll try it again next year. Bye, y'all.
Exactly. All right, yeah.
All right, do what's your freedom of speech quote? Go ahead, say it.
I don't know. I don't think I'm on board with that. My freedom of speech. No, I mean you and I are totally on board with freedom of speech. My thought though is, I would love to be able to memorialize people while they're still alive. But I think we appreciate them. I think, because we've had this year, holy crap, this year so far has been basically like a Game of Thrones episode.
Yes. Pretty much everyone we've grown up watching and listening to.
Yeah, I mean, first Lemmy from Motorhead, and then Alan Rickman, David Bowie, then Alan Rickman, was bassist from Dio. Who's next?
I still can't believe that the Prince of Darkness. I still can't believe he outlived Dio. That still bothers me.
Yeah.
An epic battle with a demon, like, beforehand, and then after Dio killed the demon, he's, like, standing over the body, but he has, a big claw mark in his side, and he's like, time for me to lay down the sword. Like, something like that had to have happened. There's no way Dio could have, like, died before.
Well, no, it was the basis for Dio,
happening.
Dio's dead.
Dio's dead.
He's dead, too? Wow.
Yes. You didn't know that? He died a few years back. Yeah.
Wow. I
know. That's...
I think there's only one Ramon left, too.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Well, way to end this on a bummer. I'm glad we didn't do my thing.
I don't know. I didn't.
The bum me out thing.
Well, your thing. No, I mean, but your thing. I get the concept, but my problems with it are that half the time I flip flop on issues because I'm human. I change my mind on concepts.
Yes.
And B, if anybody's looking to quote minus, they'll find something there to come after. So.
All right, I'll just say something crazy and in your voice, so it'll...
That's fair enough.
That thing about Marduk, Tech said that. That was Tech.
There you go. All right. Well, you have a wonderful evening, and I'll have to edit all 19 parts of this episode together.
Yes, stitch it all together. And don't, if anyone listening, don't even bother Google searching BlackSite 32. Unless you want the retro worm. That's a fun thing to your computer. You'll find out about that in 20 years too. Okay, bye.
Alright, bye bye.
Episode over. Stop listening in 3, 2, 1. Actually, you know something. When sophisticated artificial intelligence does arrive, how will we know? It honestly should start slowly entering our daily lives, so slowly that we'll barely notice. Just something to think about.